Next on News for the Soul, Eyes Wide Open with Janessa and SJ. We are multifaceted beings living in a multidimensional existence. We hold the power of perception, and this power alone paints our reality. Perception influences the things we see and the things we don't see. Together, we'll explore the mystical and the material, the metaphysical and the physical, the supernatural and the concrete, the seen and the unseen. Please welcome Janessa and SJ back to News for the Soul.
Hello, News for the Soul family. I'm Janessa Finley Ford. I am going to be your host here this evening for Eyes Wide Open. I'm an animal-loving, motorcycle-riding, countercultural researching, self-healing, brownie-baking, funny human. I am so glad to have you here with me this evening. Before we launch into this week's show, I just want to shout out to Anna in Rhode Island, Jamie in New Mexico, and Lori in Vermont with both an apology and an invitation. You guys submitted questions for last week's show. I hope you're listening this week, and I welcome you to come back next week when SJ returns, and we will answer your questions on that show. Unfortunately, tech is just not perfect, and there was a delay in my emails last week, and I received about 6 emails at one time, which included these questions, and it was well after the show had wrapped up. So we will love to get into these questions with you guys next week, and I look forward to you guys coming back and joining me for that. So to kick us off here this week today, my funny story. I love trying new things. Anyone out there with me, do you like trying maybe new foods, new restaurants, new experiences? I love trying new products. So last Saturday, or the Saturday before, I forget, I think it was 2 weeks ago. It doesn't really matter. It was a Saturday, my friends. Decided to try some new products in my morning hygiene routine. I went on with my day and I'm meal prepping. When I meal prep, I get the trash can and I have it right beside me. So all of the like veggie stuff and paper wrappings, I'm like, I don't have to walk all the way across the kitchen all the way back because literally our trash is kept on the opposite end of the room from where our stove is. And I kept getting a whiff of something. I'm like, huh, must be the trash. Any trash needs to go out. And the longer I cooked, the more I kept getting a whiff of a smell. And I'm like, huh, this doesn't smell like what I'm cooking. This kind of smells like onions, but not really. Like, it's just, it's really strong. It's growing. It's really kind of a stench, actually. I think at this point now, it's just, it's straight up a stench. Like, what is this smell? What is this smell? And then I realized the smell is me. I'm the trash. I need to go out. I had tried a new deodorant that morning. Deodorant contained neem. I was not super familiar with neem. I still haven't looked it up. I think it's used in some natural bug repellent products. But word to the wise, if you haven't tried neem, don't. Just don't. Don't would be the best way to go with it unless you like strong, pungent, nasty smelling things on your body. Especially on your body. So that was my adventure into a new product. That product will not be living in my medicine cabinet any longer. It's departed into a new destination and a new future for it, which will not be as supporting my hygiene routine. So it's kind of a cute little segue into what we're going to talk about today, which is living intentionally and being able to do so with your morning and evenings. A few moments in the morning and the evening can optimize all the other minutes throughout your day. So we're going to talk about what research shows, my personal experience with this, what I see clients all the time reaping rewards from making a few adjustments and really living intentionally. Because that transition into intentional lifestyle can really be capitalized with just a couple little practices. And eventually it doesn't become just what you do for a few minutes in the morning and a few minutes in the evening, but it becomes the way that you see and approach life. It becomes your lifestyle. So that's what we're going to get into today. I welcome any callers if you guys have questions or even want some energy work to support maybe what you're having some resistance with throughout your day or throughout your morning routine or evening. And also if you have questions, we'll give it a go. The email seems to be working today. So yeah, submit your questions. I'd love to answer them on air and support you. So I'll start off with sharing with you guys, I don't know if I shared this on the air live before or not. I used to be more of a night owl than a morning person. And I don't really feel like that was my actual nature, but with burnout and exhaustion, fatigue, adrenal fatigue, it just became the way my sleep cycle eventually acclimated into. And so I would be really content sleeping in until 9 or 9:30 on the weekend, sometimes later. I might get up for a couple hours on Saturday, and a three-hour nap was a must. I am so glad those days are behind me. I don't nap unless I'm under the weather, sick. Whatever sleep I get at night carries me through the day. My shift into waking earlier, and typically my routine now is more aligned with the sun. So I will naturally want to sleep more in the winter or later in the winter if I don't have an alarm set, where in the summertime I quite often wake before my alarm, quite a bit before my alarm with the sun. But this wasn't a natural shift for me. I would love to say that I healed a few things. That's my story with a lot of things. And my body just naturally fell in line with nature's rhythms. So it didn't happen that way. I switched a position. It wasn't necessarily my position, but the location of the job that I had. And because of that location, I would go to work and be there by 6 a.m., which meant I typically had to park 5 to 7-ish minutes before to make the walk and be to work on time. So I was leaving my house around 5:40, 5:35 in the morning. So from going to the schedule of getting up maybe around 8:30, 8 o'clock if I was really ambitious on a work day, to getting up around 5. And I really didn't want to set my alarm before 5 either. So this was, okay, how late can I sleep? And I'm going to wake up into a mad dash to start my day to get everything I need. Like my lunch is going to be packed the night before. I'm just going to get up. I'm going to do all of my hygiene stuff and my hair and my makeup and throw my clothes on and my shoes on and let the dog out, let the dog in, drop the food in the bowl, and I'm out the door. Grab my stuff and I'm gone. Like mad dash. Wake up and just hit the ground running, pedal to the metal, like from 0 to 100 as soon as that alarm went off. And don't hit snooze because you have not got the time to hit snooze because we are sleeping as late as we possibly can. And then I would be really tired, but I couldn't adjust my sleep right away, right? Like it takes a little time to settle into this whole new rhythm. And so I would go to the break room at lunch and I would set my alarm on my phone for like 15 minutes and I put my head down at the lunch cafeteria tables and I would take a power nap so that I could get through the rest of my day and get home and do it all over again. And eventually my sleep cycle shifted, thank goodness. But that routine of like waking up and hitting the ground running, and I had really honestly, I'd always been that way. In college, I bartended for a year, if I remember correctly. Time goes quickly. And I was an RA. I was like, I know there's something else that kept me up at night. So I was an RA in the dorms, and I'd have to work at the front desk until at least midnight. And I so frequently had those 8 a.m. classes, or I would bartend and have to close the bar and then get up for the 8 a.m. class. So I'd always been the person who would sleep to the very last minute and then just grab my stuff and go. And this is really a way of keeping our bodies in more of a survival mode, because when you wake up and you have to go from 0 to 100 and just be all lit up and all turned on, you're spiking your stress hormone in your body, actually, to get up and to get moving. When your natural spike of that hormone is actually 2 hours after waking. So your body's going to give you that energy however it can, and how it's going to do that is actually through the fight-flight mode of the stress response, so that you have that energy first thing in the morning if you're waking up and just jumping into your day. So I read a book. It is called The Miracle Morning, and the author is Hal Elrod. And I don't recall how I stumbled upon this book, but you know, the universe and God delivers to us what we need when we need it. So I read this book, and it talked about having a morning routine, and it gives out specific, I think it's 6 things that he recommends to work into your morning routine. And the thought of waking up even 10 minutes earlier for a morning routine was so daunting to me. And honestly, it was pretty disgusting too. I'm like, no, you've got to be kidding me. Like, my 10 minutes of sleep or my 15 minutes of sleep, it's just way too coveted. I absolutely need it in order to get through the day. I'm going to be so much more tired by the end of the week. I mean, I'm moving over an hour of sleep, and like, I could get up a half an hour early, and then I'm moving hours of sleep, right? The super dramatic narrative in my head over how much I needed to sleep. But I was willing to give it a shot. I'm like, okay, well, what do I have to lose? I could work my way into my day a little bit. And I hadn't looked up the research. Like, the only information I knew about having a morning routine is really what had been presented in this book. But research actually shows us that by working your way into your day, instead of jumping into your day, by having a routine, it actually reduces stress, which I can completely understand, especially now knowing the functional medicine and biochem processes of the body, and knowing that we're relying upon adrenaline cortisol response hormone in our body to wake us up and turn us on when we're just jumping into our day. But I noticed for myself, somehow getting up earlier and slowly working my way into my day, when things would come out of left field, I wouldn't be really so reactive emotionally. Like, it did reduce my stress, not only from the cortisol dump, but I was just calmer. So I can attest to, I totally believe the research, but the research also shows us that it boosts energy. So if you're living in the story that I was, that if you are going to give up some of your sleep, you're going to be more tired, you're going to be dragging by the end of the week, it's just not true. Actually, having a morning routine will boost your energy, and I actually noticed that too. Like, to pour into yourself, to fill your cup, and we're going to talk about how to start your day in a way that is meaningful and intentional so that you are filling your cup, then you have more energy. It's amazing. And the research also shows that it boosts productivity. So I found this Harvard study also interesting. It was a study of students, and it didn't measure necessarily the morning routine per se, but it measured the students who had more energy in the morning versus energy spikes in the afternoon. And the students that had increased energy in the morning were actually more proactive in approaching issues and tackling problems. And that characteristic of being proactive in life increases success on the job. So there is a connection between having a higher level of energy in the morning and being able to cultivate more success, which is really cool. Now, as we talk about getting up earlier, and I just shared with you this story of how I adjusted to getting up at 5 a.m. If you guys are sitting here listening to this and thinking in your head, girl, you're telling me that I have to get up at 5. You're crazy. It's never going to happen. That's not what I'm saying, okay? So if you're afraid that that's what I'm going to suggest or that's what you need to adjust your life to, you can just delete, cancel, retract that thought. That's not it at all. The real key here is how you spend your morning, not necessarily when you start it. It's not necessarily at all about becoming an early bird, just an earlier bird than what you maybe were, 15 minutes or half an hour. And then using that time intentionally, how you spend that time, how you spend the time of all of your waking hours is much more important than what time you wake up. Waking up at 5 a.m. is not necessarily going to give you more energy if you just get up and flounder with that time. So the key is really to be intentional. So before I ever started training and educating myself to become a practitioner, I had an affirmation list I randomly found on the internet. I pulled it up today just to revisit it because I want to say it was probably 8 years ago when I started using this. And it was part of that miracle morning routine. I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to read affirmations, because that is one of the things that is suggested in there, I'm like, I have to find a list. So I'll read just a few of them to you. Today and every day, I choose to be confident. I radiate confidence, certainty, and optimism. I am in charge of my life. I have the power to live my dreams. I believe in myself. I wake up and make a difference in this world. What I did is in the past, and now I can create my future. So it goes on and on. There's probably 40 affirmations or so in this list, but as I revisited it today, I can remember when I first read this, I'm like, those things sound nice. I want those things. And now as I read it today, I'm like, yes. I am in alignment with these things, and these things, these principles, these beliefs, they're a part of my life. And so this was well before I really understood the neuroplasticity of the brain. I did not yet know that we could program our brain, that there was ways to integrate beliefs into our mindset versus just reading the affirmations over and over and over again. But even now today, some mornings I will play an affirmation video on YouTube as I'm getting ready and just listen to it, because infusing your mind with positivity can infuse your body with positivity, and it just sets a beautiful, beautiful tone for the day. So let's get into some of the recommendations of how you can start your day that is going to have a positive impact. And spoiler alert for any of you who want to read the book that I mentioned, Miracle Morning, they recommend an amount of time. I don't remember what it was. I don't remember if it was an hour or half an hour. Like if it's a half an hour, you would do each of the six things for 5 minutes. If you have an hour, then you would do each of the things for 10 minutes. And really, I think that's about making it what is in alignment for you. So for instance, one of the things in the morning that's recommended is moving your body. And in the book, it talked about working out. And I have never been a morning workout person. I was in athletics all growing up, all growing up. Like I started t-ball when I was six or something. And practices were always in the evenings, in the late afternoons. And even now today, they do say it's best for your body rhythms to work out in the morning. But my real workout, still to this day, my body syncs up with wanting to do it in the afternoon, wanting to be in motion and movement later in the day. So I really encourage you, if you, when you design and MacGyver your morning routine, that you make it in alignment with what really works for you. Don't feel like you have to do exactly what some book or something online tells you to do or what some lady on an internet radio show says. Make it yours. But to now, as part of my morning routine to this day, I do something gentle to move into my body and to tune into my body. So it may be yoga, it may be Qigong, it might be some stretching. Some mornings I just put on some music and I dance and move my body, however it just intuitively wants to move. But I do something gentle to really engage my body and get my mind, my soul, and my body all synced back up and connected after a night's sleep. So I do encourage some movement, some mindful movement, however you want to incorporate that, whether it's a 5-minute walk or some stretching and yoga, which are some of my favorites, or Pilates. But again, if you do a intense workout, like if you go flip on some high intense interval training, cardio, you're going to have that stress hormone spike and release right away in the morning, just as it would if you jump out of bed and hit the ground running. So that's just something to think about if you want to get up and get into a workout. So also what is recommended is creativity. Engage in a way to be creative. And I think that can be through various different ways, such as if you let yourself intuitively dance, or maybe you like to craft and you do a little crafting or knitting or sewing or maybe some coloring or drawing or writing or journaling. Journaling is another really popular way to start the day and be mindful. But art therapy is really good for you, and it allows you to relate and communicate and connect within the self in ways that you might not otherwise. It's a way to actually even release and express emotions and things that are in the unconscious mind when you get out of that real cognitive, inflexible aspects of the brain. Another tip about starting the morning for success and intentionality is having a tech-free time frame, whether that's an hour or until your morning routine is complete. The one thing for me that I always bombed this is two things. Like, I prefer not to sleep with my cell phone in my room, but it is my alarm. I don't have any other alarm, which I know I could go and fix that, right? But I haven't. So currently, it's my alarm. And then the other thing, that affirmation list that I talked to you guys about and shared with you, that was also on my phone. And so I would end up picking my phone up thing in the morning. Like, I wouldn't get on social media, though, for quite some time. And I would not read the news. So I wouldn't fall into any doom and gloom news or panic-inducing things that you would find quite regularly online. But I would still be looking at the lights and the screen. So I suppose while we'll talk about the impact of that at night, in the morning, it's not nearly as negative just looking at the screen if you're being really mindful of what you're taking in when you're looking at your phone or your device, what things you are actually looking at. This is a resounding theme if you follow any people that talk about morning routines. The phrase, eat the frog, so do the thing that is the most challenging, do it first. And then you can't put off, procrastinate. You do all that, like that's such a great strategy of resistance. Like, oh, well, actually, maybe I need to do the dishes and, oh, I needed to jump online and order some things to be delivered for the house and, oh, I've been putting this off or that off. And actually all you're doing is putting off the task that really is highest priority. And that procrastination can really hold us back. So once you finish up your morning routine, doing the thing that's going to take the most energy, that is the highest priority of the day, do it first. Eat the frog, they say. I'm not going to crack any corny jokes about eating frogs or frog legs, but there's an opportunity. So we talked about with the affirmations, you know, the negative thoughts real that our brain likes to look for gap and lack, and that is its natural default programming. So when we wake up in the morning and those mornings we wake up and we're like, oh, this is going to be one of those days. We all have that. We all have that at times. So stepping into gratitude, real gratitude, feeling it in your body. Every time we talk about gratitude, we talk about this. This isn't just like, okay, I'm thankful to have a house. I'm thankful to have food. I'm thankful to have a job to go to. It's like legit gratitude. Like if I didn't have these things, my life would be so much more challenging. And look at all of the little steps that led me to here and that had to fall in place and align. And if you even just stop and think, I had this conversation again today with someone about every human in the world and everything that makes up this life we live is all just one little puzzle of the big picture of life. And you think about the immense design that goes in creating every single piece so that that puzzle can fall into place. I don't know how you don't feel some awe and gratitude. Another great way of stepping out of the negative thought reel and refocusing is having acceptance and allowance, just observing, feeling, accepting. So instead of being like, oh, it's going to be one of those days, I can't stand myself, I can't stand life when, oh, like, I don't know what I'm going to do to get through this. Like, instead of pushing it away, just observe it. Like, huh. Okay, today might be a day that requires more patience. Today might be a day that is going to teach me a few things about myself and how I respond to things. I wonder what I can learn. I wonder what can make this day flip on a dime. I wonder how much better the day is going to go as it goes. Like, those days that get better as they go, this could be one of those because I'm definitely starting with the bar really low. So just moving yourself to that place of acceptance. Just like, okay, what can I learn here? What can I see here? What can I observe here? What am I feeling? Whatever I'm feeling, it's not wrong. So it's fine. Being very intention-oriented, you know, making a decision that you're just going to direct your energy towards the things that are kind, praiseworthy, supportive, seeing the good in other people, complimenting other people. We've talked about, you know, helping others, serving others. When we're in that place where, oh, it's going to be one of those days, one of the quickest ways to put yourself in a different vibration is to serve others. And that can be as simple as complimenting them. Because when they're like that infusion of goodness, when you get to observe that, it's contagious. It's totally contagious. And then just like I said, be non-judgmental with others, but really with yourself, right? Like, don't judge your feelings or don't judge how your day has started, that it's going to be the whole day, or that, you know, maybe you got bad sleep, so you're going to be tired all day long and you're just going to be dragging. Actually, maybe you're going to have plenty of energy. There's a lot more that could be said there, but we'll leave it at that. You all get the idea. If you have a playlist, music, maybe make a morning playlist specifically to get you going through the day. Maybe there's just one song that lifts you up. There was one song, While Travis Was Gone by Trevor Hall, that I loved playing every day because it just brought my mind to that place of like, anything is possible. Anything at all is possible. And it made the situation feel not nearly as heavy and lofty. So music is a great way to inspire. And, you know, dancing is also a great way of moving energy and even to be releasing emotions, trauma. There's different types of somatic modalities or somatic movement out there that can include shaking and a lot of that. For people who are not professional dancers, I'll set those guys aside because professional dancers probably don't shake their bodies a whole lot in dance. But I think for those of us who are not professional dancers, anything goes. So in shaking your body, you could be releasing a lot of emotions and trauma too. It can be really helpful to activate all of your senses, what you're seeing, smelling, what you feel, the touch, taste, you know, really as you wake up and invoke all of your senses, it draws you to be more present. It draws you to slow down. You can appreciate the exact moment because when you are present, then you just are more aware of what's actually happening in the moment. It also draws you into, you know, your body more as well after sleeping. So your senses, thinking about engaging all of your senses is another quick exercise you could use in a morning routine to bring you to the here and now. A lot of people will, of course, start their day with a shower. So if you have some routines with what you think about in the shower or what you listen to in the shower, or maybe you get your dopamine hit for the day by taking a cold shower or starting the first minute of your shower with it being cold, like a polar plunge or an ice bath. That, like, nobody really ever wants to do that, right? But it actually increases your blood flow and your neurotransmitters. You definitely get a dopamine hit. And it leaves you feeling pretty awesome after you do it because you're like, oh, that was going to be terrible, and I really didn't enjoy it necessarily in the moment, but it also didn't kill me, and now I've, like, overcome something that's challenging, and I've only been awake for 10 minutes. I can take on anything this day brings my way. There's a lot of health benefits, actually, to exposing ourselves to cold for brief amounts of time. Soaking up the sun is another way. If you wake up and looking specifically also toward the light, the sunlight, having it shine on your face, there's a lot of biochemical responses to the sun. And so that can do a lot for you both mentally and physically. And then as I give you all of these options, right, like the last thing I'm going to say is don't overload your morning routine. As I said in the beginning, allow it to be designed to something that really moves you, that really benefits you, that really speaks to you. And don't feel like your morning routine has to be 20 different things. Just pick a few. Maybe even pick two. I started out, while I don't recommend snooze, I used it for my timer. So I started out when I started this, I would read my affirmation list. I didn't do that first, though. What I honestly did is I would hit snooze, and then I would meditate for the 9 minutes or whatever my snooze was. I'd meditate and pray. And then when my snooze went off, that was like the end of that. I would shut the alarm off, and then I'd read my affirmations. I read 10 pages in a book. I still do that to this day as part of my morning routine, too. So I would be reading and consuming something every day, just 10 pages. You are set up for, I mean, the average book, you'll read at least one book a month if you read 10 pages a day. It really does add up. So I started out with just like three simple things because I wasn't a journaler and I'm not going to journal, I said to myself way back then. And then I also would work out later in the day. The last thing that I want to mention, though, this one's really, really, really important, guys. And I almost overlooked it because it's always been a natural habit for me, but this is not a natural habit for a lot of people. Be sure that you drink water. Drink a big glass of water in, when you wake up. Even if you're a coffee drinker, drink the water. Get water in. You need to be hydrated, especially after sleeping all night and to start your day. Water moves energy around, it helps your brain, it helps like all of your body function. So water is a must. Have a glass of water by your bedside or on the vanity in the bathroom, but make sure you get some water in right away. Okay, questions, we have questions, so let's do the questions and then we'll talk briefly about evening routine. And it's gonna be the top of the hour already. Okay, so Sarah in New York, I'm wanting to sleep all the time too much, and then I'm still tired when I wake up, and I don't know what to do. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for writing in. And like, if you're tired all the time, I would love to say that a morning routine is going to help you, but it probably isn't. So I don't know if you have had blood labs ran recently to see what is off in your body. Is feeling fatigued all the time could be too much stress for too long. And if you've been in survival mode, if you've been in high stress situations, which I know a lot of people have over the last few years, there's been a lot of stress in the world around us and a lot of people's lives. You could be thrown off with your inner rhythms with the adrenal fatigue, like I talked about at the beginning of the episode that I had experienced. So I really would encourage you to start with getting really curious about what's going on in your physical body. And, of course, energy work is a great way of balancing out all of your systems. You could incorporate the tapping into your morning, your evening, throughout the day. I'm just going to tune in for one more second here. One other thing I really feel could be beneficial to you is mapping or journaling, tracking is the best word that I was looking for, tracking when you feel most awake during the day and when you feel like overwhelmingly tired where you just want to crawl under your desk and take a nap. And do that for a solid month. So you also, especially hormonal wise, if you're menstruating, you can see which weeks, if there's any difference with your cycle. And then also throughout the day, you may be like, oh, I'm always tired all of the time, but I do get a little bit of reprieve around 10 a.m. or when I've been up for a little bit. And then I just really want to fall asleep at like 2 p.m. And then when I want to go to bed at night, like I'm so tired, but it's like I get a second wind and I don't really fall asleep right away, or I don't fall into a deep sleep right away. All of those things are going to be really important with whoever comes alongside you to support you. And I would love to dive into that with you, whether we would do that energetically or if you do have blood labs, looking at what your labs say. I think we could get a lot of answers from your energy system. If you're just in survival mode and you need to regulate your nervous system, or if you have some biochemical rhythms to even out. But being tired all the time, I wish I could say there's just one solid answer, but we usually have to do a little bit more digging to see what exactly the root of that is. Michelle in Ontario. I feel like I'm energetically blocked from abundance right now, and I'm wondering if I am able to clear it. Michelle, I would love for you to come this evening on my website, fiercelyradiantsoul.com, and go to the Eyes Wide Open page. We have a 3-day event that is Igniting Your Purpose, and that block will definitely get cleared in that 3-day event, because abundance blocks typically are more deeply rooted than anything that I could touch in the approximately 3 more minutes that I have live on the air. It wouldn't do me justice to get into it here with you today, and I apologize for that. I really appreciate your question. I appreciate you for listening, and I really hope to see you in the Ignite Your Purpose so that we can dig into that and truly allow you to have the abundance that is your birthright. In the meantime, I don't know if you're working with, you know, affirmations, tapping, any energy tools, but really focusing on and looking for everything around you that is already here in abundance. The oxygen that you breathe, your food, the roof over your head, and really you could go on and on. You could easily sit down and list 100 things that you have in abundance, both tangible and intangible. So when we talk about the brain programming, the gap, the lack, looking for the evidence of what is in the physical, and then do a round of the natural biodistressing tapping, and that also could clear your block on your own, as you work through that process. Different things will come to mind, and just tap and allow it to clear and for your mind to reset and build those new neural pathways. Lisa in Arizona, thanks for being here. I read a similar book and started getting up at 5 a.m. I love that. I was excited about being more proactive. What happened was I would be good for about an hour and a half, and then I crashed, and I felt more tired than ever and felt really nauseous. I felt so sick that I eventually just went back to bed and gave up on early mornings. I don't understand why I felt sick, not just tired. Any thoughts? That's really interesting. Well, the time frame that you're giving for when you would start getting nauseous is when we have that natural cortisol spike in our day. And so I wonder if it's connected to that. And then I also wonder if also what I said about getting up at 5 a.m. just wasn't your natural time. I don't encourage people when they start incorporating a morning routine to like upend their natural body rhythm. So I don't know what time you were getting up prior to that. If you were getting up, you know, at like 8 a.m. and getting up 3 entire hours earlier, or if you were getting up at 6 and it was just 1 hour earlier. But if it was a more drastic shift to your internal clock, then that could just be your body talking to you and saying, okay, I don't mind if you're going to get up and be intentional, but let's not get up this early, this quickly, at this point, because it's too much. So maybe a half an hour at a time would work better for you as you adjust to getting up earlier. If you muscle test if you're a muscle tester, and Michelle, for you too, if you're a muscle tester, that will help you identify the blocks or what's going on in your body. So for Michelle, you could ask if that block is emotional, mindset, mental, if it's spiritual, and it'll give you clues to what you're working with. And Michelle, you could muscle test through, you know, the different body systems. If it was something in the endocrine system that was making you feel nauseous, something in the digestive system, if it is the endocrine system, that, you know, the pineal gland, it produces the melatonin, the adrenals produce that cortisol response, and then you can hone in on what part of your body was at the root cause of feeling sick. Okay, we're going to wrap up with just a little grounding, little energy balance, getting your seven energy systems connected and optimized. And just as we talk about these things, you know, Michelle in Ontario, we bring light to them. And simply when we're ready, when something's speaking to us, it truly can be as easy as just releasing and letting that light in and replace. And so we're just going to allow for everyone to release and transform that which is in their highest and greatest good. I'm connecting you to resilience and flexibility as we move through this next week. That is going to have a lot of interesting energies coming our way. And lastly, closing out some old programs with those negative thinking loops, the gap and the lack. Just take some breaths on that. All right, and as we move to the top of the hour, as I mentioned with Michelle's question, SJ and I are actually hosting the Ignite Your Purpose event, the 3-day event together. That is starting here at what is 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, which is just 30 minutes after the radio show ends for people who are in other time zones, and it will be held tonight, tomorrow, and Friday, all 3 days. We're really going to unblock, unleash, and unlock people's purpose, their passion. We're going to convert the resistance into power. We're going to allow people to really tune into their authenticity. We're going to release the shoulds, the ought-tos, the have-tos, the obligations, the things that their family thought that maybe they should be doing, so people can really get the full joy and capacity of life, calling in the impact and the abundance that they were meant to have. And so that is what we will be doing in the next 3 days, really lighting people's inspiration to have this meaningful life and a purpose that its ripple turns into a wave for other people. And we would love to have you join us there. As I said, you can find the link to register on my website, www.fiercelyradiantsoul.com, and go to the Eyes Wide Open page, and it's right there. And then I also wanted to just say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to those of you that joined last week for the deep. I had that last week after the radio show, and there were so many amazing souls in there, and such great shifts happened for so many people. I got such positive feedback, and those events just aren't successful without people showing up for them. So thank you if you're a part of that. Thank you for making it a success, and I look forward to you guys joining us back here next week. SJ will be here returning with me, and we'll have a mystery topic for you for next week. So until then, friends, keep your eyes wide open.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.